You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Are we on the air?
Yes, sir.
We're
yes,
ready.
We
see, one thing about Pastor Dave, he's sneaky when it comes to telling us we're on, you know. Do we have enough chairs in here?
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. We got that. No? Yeah, we do. No, we don't. What happened to the chairs?
What happened to the chairs?
I can't tell you.
Pastor Tom.
I'm not in charge of furniture.
Pastor Tom.
Pastor Tom.
You stole the chairs.
You stole everything out of here. Where are we sitting?
You know.
Well, you just raised a lot of money. Can you afford a chair?
Isn't that the truth?
They must have a rough crowd in here.
They do.
I'm
did,
telling
yeah.
you what.
We were.
I guess you sold the chairs.
Tell you what, let's move one of those around here. Maybe
you sold the chairs to.
Watch out.
This is real life
radio. You sold
radio.
The chairs and part of the fundraiser?
Usually you fly solo.
This is welcome
well, no,
to,
usually I have Vince.
Team Martech
and then occasionally
looks
Mike
for furniture.
And then, you know, Alan's been showing regularly now,
yeah,
right?
He's a regular.
Yeah.
All right.
It's good he's regular.
So did I introduce you to Deborah, Mike?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So much for that. By the way,
she's
this
much
is
more attractive to look at than you, Joe.
Yes, I have to say, Joe.
Well,
you should bring more women around.
Thank you.
This is the most unusual introduction of the Martech team show that I have
ever
been
witnessed.
Involved with.
You know, this.
We're on the air, folks.
Yes,
we have been.
There could be a spinoff coming from this show.
It could be a spinoff coming.
Yeah. I hope
it could be the Mutt and Jeff show or the Deborah and Mike show.
Who has the furniture?
Who has the furniture show?
There you go. Yeah.
There we go. That's it.
Welcome back after 2 weeks. Thank you for letting us do the fundraiser.
Yes.
See, isn't that good? I thought Alan was here talking nice things about us during the fundraiser.
He was.
I was indeed.
How many
Alan.
Nice things did you say about us?
I refuse to answer on the grounds that you're making criminal.
Back in '04.
'04. What are you, from Great Britain?
I know. '04. This is an old redneck saying.
Oh, that ought is redneck?
Ought, yeah. Like in '03.
Oh, I thought that was like it goes back to old English or something.
Well, it probably is because most of those people were old and they were British descendants.
Yeah, I figure they
I'm
came
helping
from
you
Great
with
Britain
things,
someplace.
You know, they didn't allow Italians in back then.
Oh, no.
No. Anyway.
Well, we got upgraded. Eventually.
Green cards.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
purple cards, whatever color that was. What happened is Ian Warren, independent insurance agent, big word. Greg Fasula, attorney, Joe Martech, financial advisor, started doing radio shows to help people answer questions that they might have come up. Now, just so folks you know, and we have fun on this show, and those that listen regularly know that we do have fun, but we, in our group, there is a little over 200 years of combined experience because none of us are young except Mike. And Mike, you're not so young anymore either.
Well, half of that experience is with him.
No,
it's with Joe.
I'm aging since I got on this show.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
Did you dye your hair?
No.
Oh, because it's starting to get gray on the edges, you know. Anyway, the concept of the show was very simple. Martech is a financial advisor with lots of clients here and in 13 other states, and people would ask me questions that I don't know the answer to, which is specifically automobile insurance, homeowners insurance, business insurance, and legal questions were constant. In fact, whenever I meet a new suspect or prospect, I oftentimes will talk about a will or a trust so that they have the horse and the cart in the proper order. And even though I might have a good feel for the law when it comes to wills and trusts, I don't do them. An attorney is, in my opinion, the only person that should do them because Florida law is very specific on how these things should be done in order to avoid overdue court costs, etc. The state of Florida wants T's and I's handled perfectly. And in fact, Vince Rosino, CPA, is into the same vein because he's sitting here today. And the same thing happens with him that happens with me. People are going to ask us questions all the time that have to do with the law. And you and I both have a good working knowledge of it, but we want them to see an attorney.
That's right.
When we have a caller, let's take the call.
Wonderful thing.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe Martek. It's Victoria Lloyd with Raymax and Stewart. How are you?
I've never heard of you before. Are you kind of a short, old lady Italian?
No, I'm a blonde now, and I will send you over.
I'll show Joe a picture of that.
Show.
Did she
right
did
now.
She get a blonde? Did she get a blonde wig for
she
for,
got a thing, blonde
for
wig?
Halloween?
No, I think it's natural.
You think it's you finally turned gray?
So,
Victoria,
you're really digging a hole, Joe.
I know. Today I'm in the hole.
Victoria, you mean you've been dyeing your hair black all this time?
No.
Okay.
I'm like a lizard. I change.
A chameleon.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Wow, she really does have blonde hair.
You didn't really dye it. That's a wig, right?
Really? I've always told you I'm like a reversible jacket sometimes, you know?
Victoria looks very nice.
You look very, very attractive, Victoria.
I wouldn't say that. But that's okay. That's me. Hey, Vic, I was just going to talk about you, and I was going to say very nice things about you because I've only known you, I think, since 1980. And
yes.
Ms. Victoria Lloyd is Remax of Stewart, and she is rated as one of the top 100 agents for Remax in the entire globe.
And a really nice person on top of that.
Not bad. Well, you know,
I
know when she first showed me this certificate, she goes, Joe, I think I'm one of the top 100 agents out of 100,000 in Florida. And
wow.
I said, Vic, there's not 100,000 agents in Florida. That's the whole world. She goes, really? Because this girl doesn't have a pretentious, arrogant bone in her body. But she is, Mike, we don't combine, and I'm not tooting anybody's horn. This girl works harder than all the rest of us combined.
Yeah, the other day.
See, I'm over here on the computer trying to make more deals for Mike and trying to find some, go out and show him. So I couldn't even make it there.
Victoria does it all. She picks up documents. She drops documents off. She does everything it takes to get a deal done.
She is impressive woman.
Yep.
And when this girl says she's going to call you at 3 in the morning, don't go to sleep because she's going to call you at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, you're getting...
You know, I feel like I'm kind of like a... what do they call those fast food restaurants where you roll down the window and you go, okay, here I am. I'm dropping this off and I'm picking this up and I'm running.
Yeah,
Mike's right. I don't sit idle. I mean, I go... So one lady, I have her house listed. She had some damage in the storm and in between times she moved up north. And she said, Victoria, do you have other clients you're working with? And I go, of course I do. Why? She says, because you spend so much time on my property and you go overboard to do things that nobody else would ever even think about doing. So I didn't know if she had any other listings.
Anything else to do, right?
If she had a hammer, she'd fix that damage on the roof.
I mean, the girl only has two speeds, and this is 100% true stories. I mean, back years and years and years ago, we worked together. Now, I'm driving across the state, or we're driving up north in the car, and she's always on the move. I mean, she can't sit still. And I said, Vic, can't you be quiet for at least 30 seconds? She said, sure. Well, she fell sound asleep.
We were coming from Maryland. We were doing a show in Maryland, and we were coming from Maryland, and you and I and Wita, and we were in the car, and he said, can't you ever just shut up?
See, I was trying to be nice the way I phrased it, and she's telling the truth now. Anyway, so otherwise, I know you're always working hard and everything is good, and real estate is still harder than a pistol, and interest rates are still good, Mike. Right?
Oh, yeah, very good.
You know, hey, it's if anybody in the world is not buying real estate now, if they ever plan to, because you know what? Interest rates are not going down.
No, but yeah. I don't think that's going to slow down the market at all.
You don't think so?
No.
Because they're still very low.
Well, I mean, come on, Joe. Single digits. It's just unheard of. Unheard of.
Yeah, back when...
It was when our parents were getting single digits, you know, and we thought, oh, we'd never see that again. And,
that's right.
And you know, when you and I used to sell out at 16 and 18% interest rates, and nobody bat an eye back then.
Yeah.
And now they complain over did they complain over Mike?
Four and a half.
You know, Vic...
Like, what do you mean 4 3/8 ounce or a quarter or whatever. I mean, come on.
Well, growing up, Vic, you know, my parents used to tell me the stories about after World War II, where he got those mortgages at 4.5% under the GI Bill, and we thought, my God, how
if we only got
we
that,
only got those interest rates, we were that. Paying 9, 8.5, 9, 10%.
Well, that's what we used to say when we were in the business. Say, boy, if it ever gets back near 10% again, are we going to be lucky?
Yeah.
And you know, that was back in '80s. It was when it was 16, 17s were tough.
Yeah, well, back when I first started getting into the mortgage business, I was cleaning out my parents' house because my father had just passed away, and I came across his mortgage note, and it was in the fours, and I said, holy mackerel, wouldn't it be great if rates
would ever happen again?
Wouldn't it be great?
And here we are again.
Here we are again. Mm-hmm. So other than that.
It's like, in case you need private money right under the table, remember the little Italians, you have to bring them the cash in a brown bag, and they charge you like these high interest rates of 10-15%.
Oh, Vince is sitting here. He's Italian from New York. Does that make any difference?
Well, I'm Italian from now.
I resemble that remark.
I think the CFPB would frown upon that.
Yeah, boy, you're not kidding. You know, now.
Oh, of course.
But of course, I never was in the mortgage business.
So that's what's good about having it now, that we can have it in the easy way.
Yep.
But you guys have a great time and have a great show, and just tell people to bye. Give me a call.
Thanks, Vic.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, Vic.
You know, and it's an interesting thing when we talk about the way it is today, and it's just hard to fathom that it actually has been this long a period of time with interest rates that low.
Yeah.
And regularly, Mike, I know you still get calls for refinances, you know.
Yeah, we don't really solicit. Much, we don't solicit a whole lot for refinances. We do solicit our past customers and whatnot, but it's a great opportunity to refinance. The trouble is that we've had low interest rates for such a long time. There's very few people out there that would benefit from refinancing. Yeah.
There's still a few people hanging around in the 6s and 7s.
You know what I'm getting calls for now are people who are interested in consolidating some debt, taking some equity out of their property, paying for college educations for their kids, maybe rolling in some high interest credit card debt, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, if you think about it logically, mortgage interest is deductible. Other forms of interest are not.
Correct.
So if you refinance your house and
for the time being,
it depends.
Well, yeah, but they're not going to. You know, we've not seen them grandfather or remove what's already been taken in. Now you say it depends. So if you refinance your house and get a new mortgage on it, the interest is not deductible always?
Oh, no. It's a first mortgage on a primary residence, absolutely.
And a second also, primary.
It's you're limited, you're capped as to how much overall interest you can deduct.
Is that right?
Yes.
There used to be a cap, like over and above what your original mortgage amount was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course you can borrow up to $100,000 on a home equity and deduct that for any purpose. By the way, it depends also on what you borrow the money for. If you borrow the money on a refi for a primary, but you pull the money out, you don't use it to reinvest in the house, you're limited to how much you can deduct.
But
also,
if you're going to take a home equity loan out, you do have to be careful, because what the Fed is doing when they're raising the Federal Reserve rate, that directly affects the prime rate, and that will directly affect your interest rate on the home equity.
Those interest rates float.
Yeah, those equity lines float, and usually they float from month to month.
Yeah.
So if the Fed raises the rate 0.5%, then you're looking at 0.5% rate increase on your home equity line.
Got to be careful.
Yeah, so if you're going to borrow a lot of money, you might want to look into a fixed rate first mortgage.
Right.
And be careful, as I say, what you put the money into when you refi. Because if you refi and you're taking and you're cashing out,
if you take a trip around the world,
then that portion of that money that you didn't put into your house, you can't deduct the interest. So it's prorated. So
but
it's
if
not
it's
always
business
deductible.
Related, though.
Well, wait a minute. Now you want to introduce business related.
1-888-221-8990. You can call in. We have Vince Rosino, CPA. Not only a CPA, Vince is a forensic CPA. What that means is the courts recognize him as an expert witness. Vince was also a college professor.
But not at Columbia.
At Columbia in New York. He was at
SUNY Old Westbury.
There
at State
go.
University
right.
of New York.
And we
one
also
of the great schools up there.
We also have a guest attorney here today. The Honorable Esquire.
Honorable.
I know.
Right.
They put that name in front of attorneys
sometimes,
you know.
Judges usually, I think.
Yeah, usually. But I've seen it in they also put that in front of county commissioners. Can you believe that?
Honorables?
Yeah, on their plaques right there. It says right there, H-O-N.
I think
that
we're
means
all
honey.
Honorable.
Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, is here today as a guest. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Joe Martek. And a sweetheart of mine that came in from Missouri is sitting in here today.
Missouri.
Because she missed her flight.
Wow.
Yeah.
And nice.
Yeah. You know, so it.
Did you say missed the flake?
Yeah. St. Joe, Missouri.
Oh.
You ever heard of St. Joe, Missouri?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I've heard of St. Joe.
It's in Missouri.
I know. It's not Missouri, by the way. It's Missouri.
We were talking to a fellow today.
That's what they told me.
Well, you know, like he was saying, the old timers, for sure. My mother's family was farmers in Joplin, Missouri.
Oh, Joplin, yes.
Joplin. Missouri. And they weren't Joplin. They were not Webb City. They were so far out in the country, it didn't have a post office. You know, I mean, it was, they were.
Was Janice's family from there?
Who's?
Oh, never mind.
Now, Janice, oh, that was cute, Vince. Did you hear that?
I was paying attention to the technical side.
I put Pastor Dave.
You got
was,
it.
He
you
was
got
not.
It.
He was not. You know what he just said? Was Janice from there? Mm-hmm. Janice Joplin. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. No, so much for humor.
Yeah, okay.
I just had to. You tried.
This is a financial show, not a comedy.
Stick with our regular day jobs.
50,000 comedians are out of work, and what do we get?
Yeah,
right?
Really.
So,
but anyway, so it's not Missouri. It's Missouri.
It's Missouri, but it's, now, like this guy today said, it depends where you live in the state.
Oh, okay.
Those near Kansas, they call it Missouri. Oh. Those in St. Louis call it Missouri. If they're in East St. Louis, which is in Illinois, it's Missouri. No, I'm kidding about that. I don't know about that part. But
well, that's all I've heard of Missouri.
Well, they're farmers. Oh, most okay. of the
so
most
I
of
just
the small
know
towns.
All the farmers. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with Miami. You get old timey Floridians. Floridians.
No, I've never heard that.
No, honestly, I had clients of mine that Missouri. It was Miami.
Miami.
Just that's just the way it is. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Anybody have any questions, anything we can help you with? That would be good.
I was just getting a call from Missouri.
I didn't notice. Yes. Somebody heard you on the radio.
From Missouri?
Yes. From Missouri.
Hey, speaking of which, we had Bulldog called in on the other show today.
Oh, nice. What do you have to tell
you? Well, he was concerned about the rumors that are going with 401k changes.
Right.
And I'm sure you're hearing them,
too. Yes, I'm hearing them.
And
Trump wants it one way, and the Congress may want it another way.
You know, I can't imagine anybody voting to change the rules for 401. Can you?
No,
because that's called I don't get elected.
Right.
Because that's been
dynamite.
Yeah.
In political sense, it's like trying to mess around with Social Security.
Same basic concept, pretty close. Just so that you don't know, listeners, that if you work for a company that offers a 401k or a 403b. One's a profit-making company, one's a nonprofit company, and they have same basic rules, but two different numbers. You're allowed to invest up to $18,000 per year.
Unless you're over 50, and then you could tack on another $6,000.
So $24,000 if you're over 50. Now, first, you have to make enough money to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're allowed to put that aside and not pay tax on it, and it goes into this retirement account, and then the rules are, when you turn 59 and a half, you can start taking it out without a penalty, but it'll be subject to tax.
Correct.
And when you're 70 and a half, if you haven't started taking it out, under most circumstances, you now have to start taking it out under a formula.
Correct. Do you know what almost the number one nobody's talking about, Joe, even in all these budget negotiations? The number one source, I think, besides income taxes, is that there's this huge pool of dollars that are in 401k plans that the baby boomers are now starting to have. The leading edge of the boomers are 70 and a half, 71
yeah,
years
that's
old.
True. Yeah.
They're beginning to have to take their 401k distributions, which means what? Government gets tax money.
Finally.
Yeehaw! But nobody's talking about it. There's a huge, millions of dollars or trillions of dollars are in 401k plans.
They call it a required minimum distribution, RMD. And under most circumstances, the rules are at 70 and one half.
But if you take the required distribution, would most of that even be taxable?
Yeah.
Depends on how much other income you have.
It's subject to tax.
It's subject to tax.
Right.
But that's only the 401k money. Remember, that's not interest that you're earning. You're taking some of that principal out of there, and that's all taxable. And you add that to the interest you might have or any other income you may have.
Other income.
And if you're on Social Security, which most people are at that point, that could become taxable as well as a result of the RMDs.
It all adds up and depends.
It depends. Exactly.
You know, it depends. That's one of those senior words.
isn't that a reason, though, for people in their 70s and 80s to have some of their money on the growth side of things and not be overly conservative with their investments.
You know, the old rules, and we were talking about that earlier today, that the older you get, that you're supposed to have more money in bonds. And bonds are considered a very conservative and safe investment. However, when interest rates are going up, the value of bonds goes down. And then the second scenario is bonds sometimes are paying 3 or 4%. And if inflation runs at 3 or 4%, you're making no money on that investment. So the rules have been changing. Also, people are living longer. Right. So you've got a double-edged sword. Absolutely. So in order to keep this income stream working, it may not necessarily work under the old rules. So, and then secondarily, in fact, I had it this week. Somebody has a 401k and they showed it to me, and the election in it, and there are some financial organizations that do this, they have age-weighted investments. So they have a fund called, let's just say age-weighted. It's not the name of it necessarily, but simply it says when you're 50, we have 80% of your money in stocks. When you're 60, we have 70% in stocks. When you're 70, we have 80% in bonds. So what they do, they automatically move more and more money out of equities, stocks, and put more and more into bonds. Well, that can be a big problem now because as interest rates rise, the value of these bonds go down, so people can watch their retirement accounts erode. So when I was talking to this one particular one, I said, you need to get back to your sponsor or have me give me the sheet that shows me all the investments that are available. But sometimes they're not. You pick the election based on your age, and that can be a problem. That can be a problem.
The other thing, Joe, the rule of thumb is you aim for between 3 and 4% withdrawal rate,
right,
in order to keep your money for your lifetime. People might include mistakenly the value of their houses, and that doesn't get into the calculation.
No.
You really need to just talk about investable funds, real money that's invested.
See, just a quick aside, those of you that are not 70 and a half yet, basically the first year you turn 70 and a half, the required minimum distribution under normal circumstances is just under 4%. When you turn 90, you got to take out roughly 10% of the value of the account that year. When you turn 115, you're supposed to take your last dollar.
Exactly. So and when you're at 125,
you're dead. So they do this formula based on your age because the government wants you to not necessarily pay tax on it, but report it.
Want you to pay tax.
Well, they want you to, but you may not have to depending on your income.
That's true. But so, they want you to take it all out so that it becomes eligible for tax.
So the key is some of these things. And by the way, I have something that's not very often talked about. We've never talked about it on this show, and that's called a stretch IRA.
Oh, stretch.
Yeah. Mm.
Talk to me.
This is an interesting concept. So let's just use an example. We have a husband that's 65 who dies, and he has a wife that's 45, and she inherits his IRA. Now, under normal circumstances, that would become her IRA at her age, and if she takes money out prior to age 59 and a half, she pays a penalty. But if it's set up as a stretch IRA, she now has to take an RMD every year based on her age. So starting at 45, she has to take a withdrawal, whether she likes it or not. Once it's set up, it's in concrete. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I was wondering what you meant by stretch, but now I get
now
what
you know
talking about. Yes.
Well, literally, that was the term was defined to me by two different sources as I'm working with this client. And I thought, why? And of course, the client had no idea this was done to her. But I think what happened is when her husband died, just before he died, he decided this was in her best interest, that she could take this money out whenever she wanted, with no penalty.
That's critical also, Joe, when you have inherited IRAs.
Right.
Very, very, you have to be very careful about what you do with those.
Right.
You got to roll them over. Usually they tell you to open up
inherited IRAs. Yeah.
Why? Because if you lump it all together and then distribute, the RMDs are based on the oldest member of that group of beneficiaries. So very careful you must be.
Same exact example. Here's the husband dies at 71 and he's taking an RMD and the wife is 50. She inherits his IRA. She has to keep distributions as if he was still alive.
Right.
So there's all kinds of little nuances, and this particular client was not counseled. Or if she was, she sure doesn't remember it. And I said, well, you signed something, and I've got the paperwork coming back to her to show me what she signed to make sure that they did what, because that is definitely not what she wants. But if it's that way, and it probably is, she's stuck with it.
You got, for the listener's benefit, Joe, be careful also that every single IRA has a beneficiary named. I went through a case recently where there was about 100-something thousand in an account that had no beneficiary.
Oh,
so what happens? It goes to the estate. Well, guess what? The estate has to pay taxes on it. 100% income to them, to the estate.
But if they had named beneficiary.
They named a beneficiary, then it would be transfer an inherited IRA, and you get the RMD
stretch or whatever.
But if you don't, so I recommend to everybody out there, if you have IRAs, make sure you have beneficiaries
personally
in there.
Anytime,
make sure update them also.
Anytime that happens, I fault the financial advisor, because that never should happen. There should always be. In fact, I've had people say to me, well, Joe, I don't have anybody I want to leave it to. And I said, well, okay, fine. You drop dead right this minute. Right this minute. Who do you want that money to go to? Oh, well, maybe my sister. Okay, let's put her down now. You can change your mind next week, next month, next year. Let's say you want to leave it to the church. Well, that becomes a non-taxable event. You can do that and change your mind, or you can divvy it up by percentage, 10%, 20% to this person.
You know what amazes me, Joe? This particular case, it was a major brokerage house that this happened with. So they were holding on to this IRA without a
beneficiary. That was terrible.
So I'm saying, why don't they have a mechanism even within the brokerage where they run a program, look at all their IRAs, and say, who doesn't have beneficiaries, and not write them and say, hey, you got to name
that's
somebody.
That's
seems
bad.
Easy enough, right? Simple.
That's bad management, period. I mean, literally, when compliance people get these things and they allow it fly, and then when the investment firm, whoever's doing it, lets it fly, somebody missed it.
Yep.
And that's sad.
It is sad.
Yeah, because that could cause a tremendous loss of...
It could be 40 grand of taxes on that money.
Just like right now.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, just like that.
This stretch IRA that you mentioned, Joe, I'm trying to think of where it would benefit the younger wife, because wouldn't it be better to just let that money accumulate?
Well, I'll tell you how it's better.
Okay, that's why I'm
She's 45 years old, she's not working, and she needs money, and there's no penalty. Now, it's subject to tax, but if she's not working, she could take out $10,000, $20,000 a year, and Vince would have to be the one that says, and there'd be no tax because she's below the threshold, and depend if she had children, etc. But if there was always a 10% penalty, even if there was no tax, that's where the stretch can work.
So it's penalty avoidance. Really.
It's penalty free based on that. Is that the smart thing to do? Maybe, maybe not. And that election was made, and I'm sure the husband before, and I'm reasonably sure, because I wouldn't have thought it would come up unless somebody brought up the idea to make that money available to her without having a penalty. But in this particular case, she's very upset that because she doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And now she
has to take it.
Mm-hmm. But here comes a $64,000 question. So she's got an IRA, and she's not contributing to it. But she could contribute to it.
Is she working?
Yes.
Okay.
Now she takes that money out of the stretch because she has to. Can she then roll it over and deposit it into her regular IRA because she is working, and she's allowed to put X into that IRA? As long as she's working, right?
It's a wash, because what she takes out will be taxable, and what she puts in is a deduction.
It's a deduction. It's a wash.
Yeah.
Wash means this part is taxable, this is not, so they wash each other, and there'd be not a taxable consequence.
Why would you do that?
Well, here's what I've talked to her. I said, if we can't undo this, if this is where it goes, and you have to take your RMD, we have that ability to put it into an IRA and make it a wash. So the concept is she doesn't want to have, she wants to save this money for when she officially gets old.
Yeah, I get it.
And
gets older when she wants to retire.
Yeah. Now, wouldn't you benefit from the growth of that money going into the IRA?
Of course.
Then? Of course. Yes.
So she benefits from the growth. But if she takes it out and has to pay tax and penalty, you know, it's like a double-edged sword, 10% plus.
But if she puts it in the IRA, as Vince just said, it's a wash.
Yeah,
right.
And now she can make a profit.
Now, how do you avoid that situation? Can you set up the IRA initially so the beneficiary or the heir doesn't have to continue to take those withdrawals?
The answer is yes and no. if you are old and taking an RMD, required minimum distribution, mm-hmm. and you inherit it, I think the only exception is a spouse. Is it not, Vince, or not?
No, I think that's even a spouse. Just one, is the key you said is whether you started taking distributions yeah. or you didn't.
Once they start, you have to continue.
Once they start, you've got to continue. Otherwise, yeah. it can sit there until you're of age. Start taking them out.
If you're 90 and you die, you have to take out 10% that year. If the person inherits it's 60, they've got to take out 10% that year of that value based on your age.
Yeah. Well, I have a situation now where a customer of mine is in that same exact situation. Now, in this situation, she's younger and she's taken this required distribution, but we now can use that for income to qualify
course,
for the mortgage.
Of course.
So it was
helps,
a benefit.
It helps her to qualify for a mortgage.
Correct.
Yeah. They understand there's a double-edged sword. Sometimes it's good, and that's what Alan just said. Sometimes it's a good idea. Sometimes it's not.
Well, I like the fact that you can take it out without paying the penalty.
Mm. Well, that's a rare when you see it's not very many circumstances. They also have a thing called a 72T. If you're underage, you can set up a systematic income out of an IRA
over your lifetime. So essentially, it's an annuity. If you
annuitize, and then essentially,
you could avoid the penalty then, because then it becomes a retirement.
It becomes you're getting a pension. Yeah, in it's effect, a pension. And the check's going to stay pretty much the same unless you there's variables here, but let's just say pretty much it can be the same. So there are different rules, and there's what happens. We're sitting here, and there's probably 40 or 50 rules before we got done.
It's a very complex area of the law. These whole things on IRAs and inherited IRAs, and it's complex. Right. It's not that simple.
Yep. One.
Check
with your advisor. Call Alan Love. Alan, are you still here?
Yes.
I'm kidding about calling Alan. But 1-8, between, Pastor Dave, your eyes are open.
I had a little nap. Thank you.
Yeah, he napped well this
afternoon. Now, wait a minute. I got to tell you that here comes a $64,000 question. Ready?
I thought we just had the $64,000.
No, this is a $65,000 one. Ready? Ready?
Yes.
Pastor Dave.
Yes, sir.
What's a mutual fund?
A mutual fund, like I said, is like a pizza.
He's got that pizza
thing
down good.
And you and I own a pizza, and somebody wants a slice of that pizza, and we'll sell it to them with a slight upcharge for our
services.
Ownership and our services for maintaining their... And they can buy as many slices as they want, and we own the big pot, and they buy a piece of it.
So they have to pay us a fee.
They have to pay us a fee to maintain the
pie keeps
service.
Growing though, right? More and more people
pie
buy
could,
in. That
you
pie
could have more,
has to keep
you could have
growing.
More pepperoni on it than you started with.
Sure. You're making me hungry now.
We were doing that on the show one day, trying to explain how a mutual fund works, and the pie. That's pretty good. You made it a pizza though.
Yeah.
Mine was a cherry pie.
Was it a cherry pie? Okay. Well,
and I just want two cherries out of that whole pie. That's a slice.
Right.
Anyway, the concept was very simple, that it looks like a pie, and there's 100 different companies in there, and we own all 100 of them, and we have $100 million worth, and you want $10,000 worth. You just slice a little sliver out of that $100 million, and they own all 100 companies. And the reason for that is diversification. If one company's in trouble, and they got 99 that are not, and they can help offset it. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Lately, it seems that I've had a bit of questions on 401ks and what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this happens quite often. You leave one employer, and they have a 401k. And you go to a new employer, and they have a 401k. Well, I've had people say, well, Joe, should I take my old 401k and move it to my new employer? And I said, well, you can, but it's not always in your best interest, because you also can roll it out of the old employer into what's called a self-directed IRA, individual retirement account. Why would you do that? More investment options.
Right.
You control it rather than the employer controlling it.
A lot of people want to invest in land or commodities or things like that. May not be able to do it through a corporate plan.
You may not be able to do it. And back again, the one the other day, when they had that age-adjusted option, and it may not have been an option, it may have been a requirement, that because you are a certain age, they automatically put that money into these age-adjusted investments. And under that formula, which used to be popular in the 50s and 60s, it may not be a smart thing today. Anyway, all kinds of different little things that come up. And Pastor Dave, he's learning it all now. pretty soon he's going to start all in. Giving
Man, I'm getting so many CEUs just sitting through this.
CE credits.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
Does it apply to your pastorship?
You can't lose anything learning something. Oh, it's always going to be there.
Continuing that is important.
It sounds like a truism to me.
It's an accumulation of wisdom. You just learn how to do it over time.
And was it your father told you? No, that was Dan's. It says an accumulation of wisdom is getting old and making a lot of mistakes you're not going to make again.
Amen. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you don't get experience without time. And I joke about it, but it is really true. In our group, we have over 200 years of combined experience. In my not too humble opinion, putting a group together of local professionals, we don't share commissions, we don't share fees, we don't share office space, nobody's in charge one of the other. But in my opinion, if you get local people that are at the top of their field, we can do the best job for our clients.
Yeah, we share knowledge.
Share knowledge. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have the 457, and when the company that I work for started it, I signed up for it and I got into it. Well, 2 or 3 years later, they offered other companies that offered 457s. So I also signed up for one of those. That was my idea of diversifying. I was told that was fine at the time, but now since then I've been told that I can't do that. I can't have two separate things. Is that legal?
With the same company?
With the same company, yes.
I'm surprised they had two separate 457. Yeah. Usually they only have one. I mean, right. I've never heard of
them. They have more now.
They have more?
They have more. If you want to sign up for a 457, they have like five companies that you can sign up with.
Is there, underneath that one umbrella, 457, there might be 10 or 15 or 20 different investment options that you can go into, and you might be able to go into all and put a portion into all of the different options. Now, that I've heard.
Yeah, I understand that. But these are two separate insurance companies that have 457s with, that I have 457s with.
And your company employer, they had two separate money managers. Let's say Dean Witter was one and Templeton was another. And you could have each one of these and put money into each one. Is that what you're saying?
That's what's going on, yes. And that's what I was told was I could do that when I started doing this. And this was several years ago.
Well, they can't take it away from you, but they may say you can't contribute anymore to that because the 457 is, they call it a defined contribution plan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what that means, it's got very stringent rules on who can get into it, and you've got to be a certain kind of employee. And I mean, Vince, I mean,
and usually they go with one sponsor on that because they get the best rates for them from them,
yeah.
You know, in terms of management fees and so on. So to go with several different,
it doesn't
sponsors,
make any sense.
Doesn't make sense.
The key is you have multiple investment options. You can be into 200 or 300 different mutual funds inside of it normally.
Right.
You know, so
well the.
What's the necessity
for
the
one insurance company, when they told me that I couldn't do that, that was wrong, I stopped contributing to it and just took the money that I was putting that in the other one.
Yeah.
So obviously one has substantially grown more than the one that I stopped taking money
into. Of course. Well, the key is you rolled it over. It didn't cost you anything, no tax, no nothing, right, when you moved it from one to the other?
I didn't really roll it. I just stopped
contributing
funding one
okay.
of them
okay.
contributing
okay.
to one of them
okay. okay
and that money in that is still there, and it's actually grown considerably.
So what happens is the investment options or what you're invested in that plan might be better than the other plan. Now there becomes the sophistication of knowing your options and understanding the investments. So the more knowledge you have about understanding the investments that are available, it's just like right now. In fact, we talk about this all the time on the show. In the last 12 months or so, the S&P 500 is up around 20%. The NASDAQ 100 is up like 22 or 23%. Is that going to continue? Well, we doubt it, but it may continue for a period of time because the economic outlook right now, in spite of politics, is looking pretty good. And tax reform is looking logical. There are some things that might give us 2 or 3 more years of this 20% per year in pretty broad indexes, meaning something like the S&P 500 or the Dow or the NASDAQ. But the ability to move out of those things also becomes critical. And especially as you don't get so young, when you're getting close to retirement, you start to get a little bit afraid of keeping all your money invested in these things when we could have a severe correction or another recession or who knows what. So you, the more knowledge you have with those plans and what you can be invested in and when you can make changes, that's important.
Are we ready for another one?
Okay. Well, I do have an advisor, and next time I meet with him.
Next time you meet with him, and if he doesn't help you, right, you know another guy here.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr.
The guy very
with the,
good.
That's right,
thank
with
you.
A green shirt.
The guy with a green shirt. You can't see it. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
You're welcome. Thank you, caller. Okay, here we go.
We have another caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm just trying to find out how does reverse mortgage work? Who does it benefit?
Well, it certainly benefits the consumer. You have to be at least 62. At least one of the borrowing parties has to be 62. Are you 62?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Well, what we do is we appraise the property, and based on your age, we'll determine how much we can lend you. On a reverse mortgage, there's no payments to be made, but there is interest that accumulates. So as a result of that, you know, the balance of the loan grows over time. So that's why we will lend you a smaller amount when you're younger. And if you're older, say 80, 85 years old, then we'll lend you a larger percentage of the home's value.
The benefit simply is this. You're taking the money out, and it's tax-free right now. You can spend that money on anything you want, and you don't have to make payments. When you die or leave the house, the mortgage has to be paid off, which means your kids can sell the house, refinance the house, or if the house is not worth what is owed, they walk away from it, and there's no liability to the family.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful
thing. Now, Carl, are you also married?
I'm married, but what if you, if over time you decide you can sell the house?
Sure, you can. The house never reverts to the bank's name. It's always in your name. Whenever there's equity in the property, you can sell it and take the equity, pay off the loan, just like you would on a forward mortgage. There's really not too much of a difference.
There's no difference, yeah. It's your house. You can sell it anytime you want.
Oh, I see. Because actually, my house right now, it appraised for about $500,000, and we hold $160,000 on it right now. So,
mm-hmm. Do you plan on keeping the house?
Huh?
Do you plan on keeping the house?
Yeah, I'm not planning on leaving right now.
Mm-hmm.
So why go reverse?
Well, here comes a key. What you could do is to get a reverse mortgage and pay off the $160,000. Now you no longer have a payment. You still have to pay your taxes and insurance, but you no longer have a mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just pay off your existing mortgage, and you wouldn't have that debt anymore. You wouldn't have to pay it.
Based on your age, we would probably lend you about 50% of the property's value. You don't have to take all the money. You can take out just enough to pay off your existing mortgage, and we would give you a line of credit, because that's basically what it is. It's a glorified home equity loan. We would advance you enough to pay off your existing mortgage, and then the unused portion of your home equity loan for the reverse mortgage would grow at 4% a year. So even if you don't take another draw on the equity loan, you're going to get 4% increase on the line of credit each year.
I mean, interest.
No. The line increases.
Right.
Because the way we calculate it is, you know, the property value is going to continue to grow as well.
Right.
So the unused portion of your line of credit will increase by 4% a year.
Okay.
I had a lady who just recently took a reverse mortgage, and she really didn't need any income. She just wanted to take, say, about $4,000 or $5,000 out a year to travel to go see her children who lived, nationwide. So that's what she did. She didn't touch the line. She just used the 4% growth on the line each year. So she always had that original balance for her in case of an emergency, in case she needed it sometime.
Yeah.
Mike, how can you make that assumption of 4% growth? Look what happened in 08, 09.
Yeah, well, that's never happened in history before. So we have to go by what's normal in the real estate environment. And normally, property will grow and appreciate over time. But remember, the whole we're not increasing the line of credit in its entirety, just the unused portion of it. So if we're going to advance you, say, a line of credit for, say, $100,000, you only use $50,000. We're only going to grow $50,000, the remaining $50,000, not the entire line.
I see. Bottom line is, I think I have seen reverse mortgages do magnificent things for people. And it frees up cash, and it takes you so that you're not having to make a payment. But I've had people get to live that were owned by their house prior.
Yeah, and I've done reverse mortgages just to advance funds for people to get them through until they can take their full Social Security allotment.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're retired and you're having difficulties making ends meet, and you don't want to take your Social Security, then this might be a way to get you there.
Okay. All right. I have to call you because I'd like to probably bring my wife and we sit down and discuss it and see how we can go about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You left your name with Pastor Tom when you called in. Did you name your name and number?
Yes, I do.
Good. Mike will give you a call tomorrow, Mike.
Yeah, that would be great.
And then Mike Paulus will give you a call set up a time and hopefully he can help you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
You know, that's a subject we don't talk about enough. We hear it on TV all the time. You know, it's a program started off by President Reagan back in the 70s, and it's been the same exact program.
It's the most versatile mortgage program out there. You can use it in so many different ways. You can use it in estate planning, just, you know, or even if you're just having difficulties, you know, paying the bills, you could use it for that.
You can buy a second home with it, right?
You can do whatever you want with it.
Seems to me that a reverse mortgage works like an IRA where you're taking a mandatory distribution.
No, but there's no tax.
No, but there's no tax. Right. It's a beautiful thing.
There's no tax on it. You take the money out and use it for whatever you want. There is no tax. So you take... When I look at, like, your mom, Deborah's mom's 83 years old, living on Social Security, and this could give her an extra $10,000 to go spend on her daughter.
All right.
Good idea.
That's a good thing.
Wait till I talk. She could spend it on her daughter's boyfriend.
Okay.
A beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing.
You know, it's such a versatile product. You can take cash out. You can put it into investments. You can pay off, you know, your existing debt just to, you know, increase your cash flow. It's just a wonderful program.
And by the way, upon the payment or repayment of that interest is deductible, all that accumulated interest that you pay.
Yeah, so they can offset the estate taxes.
Yeah, we can do a lot with that. So even though they're accumulating all that interest, it does have a tax benefit for them.
It's really become a part of, you know, estate planning and retirement planning.
I had a lady up in Fort Pierce some years ago that was in her 80s that lived in a house for 40 or so years without air conditioning in Florida. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She got a reverse mortgage and has central air put in. And I'm telling you, you've never seen a smile so big in your entire life as this lady who went through all these summers in Florida. Just hard to imagine.
That's right.
Yeah. But literally, it's lifted the weight off of people like crazy.
It's a beautiful program.
And you know,
I think
usually when I sit down with a candidate for a reverse mortgage, I really try to insist that we sit down with their spouse, with the borrower, with their children, just so everyone knows how it works and everyone's on the same page.
Aren't you required to educate them?
Well, that's one of the few mortgage programs that requires an educational program. It's an FHA loan. You have to go through a counseling service that's approved with FHA that's not related to the transaction. Mm-hmm. So these counselors are not there to try to push the sale. They're just trying to educate you, which is a wonderful program.
I'm telling you, I have seen it do magnificent things for people personally. I just named you one, but we've had quite a few others. A lot of people have a hard time getting it in their head that they don't have to make a payment. Now, you can make a payment if you want to.
Sure.
I've
had that situation where I've had a customer who couldn't qualify for a mortgage because they had a bankruptcy, and they had a bankruptcy because their spouse passed away. So they lost half of their income, declared bankruptcy. They had a pretty, you know, decent-sized retirement account that was protected under bankruptcy. And right away, they came up, thought that they were going to have to either get a subprime mortgage or rent for a while.
Right.
And, you know, because there's no repayment, we don't really look at the credit situation all that hard. So we were able to get this person a reverse mortgage to buy a property, and most people don't know that that even exists.
Yeah.
You can take a reverse mortgage for a purchase. If you qualify, if you're like in the 62, 63-year-old range, then we would advance 50% of what the purchase price is, and then you would come in there with the rest as a down payment. And the only difference is it wouldn't be a line of credit anymore. Then your transaction would be done. You sure. couldn't advance any additional funds. But this customer did want to make payments on that loan, so they treated it just like a forward mortgage.
Yep.
You can pay the loan down, and again, that line of credit exists. So if you do pay it down, you can use it in the future.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing when people start worrying. They say, well, I'm just going to keep owing more and more money on the house. Well, use this example with this fellow that called in. He's got a $500,000 house, and let's say it goes up at the rate of 4% a year. That's $20,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he borrows $200,000. Use that number. And it cost him 5% a year in interest. Let's just use that. Well, 5% on $200,000 is $10,000 a year. So he's going to go up $20,000. His interest is going to go up 10, up 20, up 10.
Mm-hmm.
So the equity in his house will continue to grow more than what he owes on the house. So when he does die or sells the house, he still will have equity under most all circumstances. Yeah,
these loans are not designed to go upside down. Now, yes, in the recession,
they did.
All these loans went upside down, but so did forward mortgages. But that's highly unlikely.
And there is no liability to anybody. These are federally insured. I mean, literally, Mike, I had a client of mine that was living in a up and down condo, typical two-story condo,
mm-hmm.
and they bought it for like $40,000 or $50,000. At the height of the market, it got up to worth almost $200,000. They got a reverse mortgage at the height,
mm-hmm.
which gave them $160,000 mortgage on something that went back down to $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And when they Banks one died and the other moved out, say, what do we do? And I said, there is no liability, period.
That's a success story.
Yeah, that's a mm-hmm. success. They got the money, got to live and travel and do, and mm-hmm. there's no liability. She says, but is it morally correct? And I said, absolutely. It's insured to protect the lender.
Yes. Part of the closing costs go into a fund. It's the mortgage. It's an FHA loan, so there is mortgage insurance that's paid up front, and that goes into a fund that protects the lenders against future losses.
So, I mean, I just have not found a problem with it at all. I did find a problem. Family got a reverse mortgage, and they put $10,000-$20,000, whatever the number was, in their pockets, and their kids got all the money away from the old folks.
Well, they made some changes in the program because, you know, it did have a bad reputation for things like that happening. Now what they'll do is, if you have no mortgage or if you have a lot of equity in the house, they're only going to advance you about 60% of what you're entitled to the first year. The next year you can take the rest out, but at least it gives the senior to really think about, it gives the opportunity to think about where they can use those funds in the
sure.
future.
Because a lot of times parents, the kids come to the parents, and the parents can't say no because they've got the money. I've had clients say to me, Joe, can you invest this money in something that I can't take? Because I don't want my kids to get it, because they can't say no to their kids. And that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the counseling that these people have to go through, I know, it brings up these scenarios.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the biggest obstacles I get from reverse mortgage borrowers is they want to leave their kids something.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you're not going to leave your kids something. I mean, you could take all those funds and you can then put it into a different investment.
Right.
And those, your heirs would then get that investment yeah. instead of the equity in the house.
So I'd be curious as to what percentage of those homes, when they turn, actually have equity in them. Is it a great majority of them that wind up with equity?
Yeah, in a normal real estate market, yes. But, you know, if this happened back in 2008, 2009,
okay. I'd say no,
then okay. probably not.
But since then, you would say the majority of them?
Absolutely.
There's still equity left in there when the house turns?
Sure. Again, it's a factor of how long you live and how long you're in this mortgage and how long you're in the house. But typically, the way Joe explained it is exactly how it works. If you expect a 4% growth in real estate, that's based on the entire value of the house.
Right.
Remember, we're only going to probably lend you 50% of the value of that house.
Right. Yeah. So that grows 4%.
So unless you live to about 140 years old, you're probably going to be okay.
Chances are we're not going to do that.
Alan looks like he's 140.
But. here's an interesting question.
You're having a rough day.
Say you've got a high-end house, maybe worth $5 million,
mm-hmm.
and you take a reverse mortgage.
Yeah, we're not going to lend you that much.
No, I know, but they would lend you like $2 million on a $5
no,
million?
No, no, because again, this is an FHA loan.
I see.
They have caps. So when you have a house of high net worth, this probably isn't your best option.
Okay,
but if you're in the average.
So then my second part of the question is moot, because I was going to say, could you take money out on a reverse mortgage, donate it to charity, and then get a tax deduction for that charitable donation?
Why not?
It doesn't matter what the source of the money is.
So it can also be a tax reducing implement
that. Yeah, I don't think many people are going to be in a high tax bracket at that age when you're taking a reverse mortgage, but it is possible. I mean, if you have to take a required distribution and maybe that's a large amount, that could be a good opportunity to offset that.
Standard deduction is only $12,600, so depending on how much you give to charity, could be your way above it.
Literally, yeah. I think if a person came in to somebody like Vince, a CPA, and said, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to avoid tax, give money to my church or whatever it might be. Here's all of my equities, et cetera. There might be a strategy to help them do this and make it to their tax advantage.
Yeah, well, that's why it's nice to deal with a group like ours, because you can deal with a CPA, a financial planner, or a reverse mortgage specialist,
right. And,
you know, just bundle it all up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, we never talked about Greg Fasula today.
Yes, you better mention Greg. Attorney, poor Greg.
I hinted about Dan, independent insurance agent, but Greg,
the best.
You know, we had. Bottom line is, Dan is no doubt about it. This is my not too humble opinion again, but it's a very, very, very biased, but based on a lot of criteria. Dan's only been in business 38 years.
Man.
He's got roughly 100 companies under his umbrella.
A mere bag of shells.
And that man has been able to do magnificent things for everybody in this room.
Absolutely.
And how many different people trying to buy real estate?
He's honestly saved several transactions for me, because he was able to get the premium down, and with the lower premium, it's easier to qualify.
There you go. And then Greg Fasula, attorney. I joke about this, but he's probably the only attorney in the world I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor. He's one of the better people you'll ever meet, just a flat good guy. He doesn't gouge people. He's not pretentious. He's not arrogant. He's a good listener. He helps people.
Absolutely.
And I mean, he goes out of his way to help people, and that's what we do. And by the way, anybody that's called in on the show, if by pure chance we didn't call you back within a couple of days, please call us again. Sometimes mistakes happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the last time I walked on water?
It was frozen.
It was frozen, right? So we are not perfect here. Pastor Dave is as close as we're going to get, and he's way far away.
Yeah, but I'm getting closer every day.
Yeah. Are we almost finished?
Almost.
What do we have?
We have 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay, Joe.
You flashed a 30-second card.
I did.
Oh, he's getting ready with a 15-second card.
But don't sign off early, because we'll have dead air.
No, you don't want dead air.
Dead air?
No, you don't want dead air.
We don't want dead. We got people here almost.
In radio, that's anathema.
Well, that might be more entertaining than us. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. Although we are keeping our day jobs.
Now we have 10 seconds.
888-221-8990. You can call that number anytime. They'll take your name and number. We'll get back to you. 1-888-221-8990. And with that, thank you so much for listening.
God bless
you. We'll see
you
next week.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.